I hung me out to dry. It was easy to keep all your lies in disguise, 'cause you had me in deep with the devil in your eyes. Tell me what it takes to let you go. Tell me how the pain's supposed to go. Tell me how it is that you can't sleep in the night without thinking you lost everything that was good in your life to the toss of the
listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, is a pap smear still the best way to screen for cervical cancer?
We used that from 1929 when Dr. Papanicolaou first came out with the pap smear, and now it's outdated. Now it's your grandma's test.
But first, an inside look at healthcare entrepreneurship and how it affects consumers.
I think it's healthy for consumers to question digital health technologies that come onto the market. I think it is just a reflection of patients advocating for themselves.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Wait. Skechers put the S in comfort?
Yes. Comfort you have to feel to believe. Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
You sure? Because I won a spelling bee in the fifth grade, and I don't think there's an S in comfort.
Yes, Skechers. We put the S in comfort, like our hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Footwear that's completely touchless. You just step in and go. There's no bending down and no tying your shoes. And they have Skechers Aircool Memory Foam for incredible comfort. Because at Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Okay, well, I've got some Skechers slip-ins. Here, let me try. Okay, I'm just stepping in and... oh, wow. Skechers put the S in comfort.
Duh, we told you.
See for yourself how Skechers put the S in comfort. Find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Ever since the pandemic, it seems like public health and the healthcare industry as a whole has been top of mind for many Americans. And while we often see criticisms, sometimes warranted, sometimes not, Will Gina Jackson Glover says this community involvement is overall a good thing for progress.
I think it's healthy for consumers to question digital health technologies that come onto the market. I think it is just a reflection of patients advocating for themselves. We often talk about the importance of patient voice, patient experience, and patients being able to say what they would like or not like as a part of their healthcare.
Glover is a Clutchin Foundation Distinguished Professor of Global Healthcare Entrepreneurship at Babson College. She says the one thing consumers should take comfort in is that the industry is moving toward patient-driven entrepreneurship. This practice puts the patient experience at the center of what companies are wanting to achieve, instead of simply creating a product to make a quick buck.
Ultimately, the new digital health app or new service, new pharmacological solution, the new device that comes out is really coming out with the patient at the center of the development process. We often talk about the importance of patients being involved in co-creating solutions so that even early in the process, you can actually have patients and patient advocates be a part of the process even in the earlier stages of development, so that once something does come to market, it isn't brand new for those advocacy communities, but that they're well aware and excited for the innovations to come to market.
Healthcare companies want to create a service or product that people will use. So with more and more consumers putting in time to research which invention they deem worthy enough to buy, the manufacturer's goals need to match the needs of the consumers. Ron Gutman, a health tech entrepreneur and inventor, says this principle is now more important than ever. Though it sounds simple, one look at America's healthcare industry shows that it may not be as easy to put into practice. There are a lot of great ideas that either don't get executed well or don't make it to market at all. Glover says that in researching healthcare entrepreneurs, she's noticed a few factors that often influence success. The first one is the ability to create a high-value team.
So healthcare has both the practice side, the clinical side, but also the business side. And so we often find that some of the most successful companies, when they begin, have an individual that knows the business and an individual that knows the clinical care side of the equation. And so by starting that way, you can carry both values forward as you continue to do the work.
The second aspect is how often these entrepreneurs are updating their knowledge and research in their given area.
So not sort of resting on where they started, but continuing to build that evidence base out as they continue their business. And doing it ethically is also very important. And then ultimately, that should achieve health outcomes that we can measure, that we know that we're achieving what we would like to achieve for our patients, and also the financial outcomes to make sure that the business is solvent over time.
Because healthcare deals so closely with some of the most vulnerable parts of people, it can't always operate like other industries. Gutman says that this human aspect is what makes the field so unique. Not only are businesses trying to find solutions, but they also have to take the patient's feelings into account and create something that's providing a positive experience as well as a good outcome.
I think that healthcare can be complicated, and it's because it involves the most important thing in the world, is the human element, right? So, you know, and I think that like the human element is not simple, it's not linear, it's not a machine, right? So, and I think that when you involve human beings, there are multiple facets to a solution. And I think that when people, when product people, when business people are trying to build solutions in healthcare, they need to take into account their real needs. And the needs are not just solving, you know, a particular condition or providing a remedy or creating a temporary stop to a pain, but it's really like thinking about the person holistically. And in order to create solutions that are sustainable and really, really help people, you need to really create solutions that are artisan, meaning that they pay attention to detail, they pay attention to the whole individual and not just to the small thing that you're trying to solve for. And they are very, very intricate.
To Gutman, the goal is to help people stay not only healthy, but happy, and to keep them feeling like this well into the future. One of his own healthcare tech companies called Intrivo aims to follow these values by being a sort of one-stop shop for consumers who need COVID testing. He noticed that there were a lot of options for people to get tested or treatments or access to more information, but the issue Gutman found was that they were all individual solutions.
Some people created a test, some people created a vaccine, some people created a medication, some doctors provided consultation and this and that. And we were the first ones to really put it all together in a holistic solution that took care of all the way from understanding what you have and if you have something to getting the right kind of education of what would be the best solution for you, to providing the testing to validate that things actually are the way you think they are or you feel they are, taking the data and moving it to the right kind of like healthcare professional seamlessly to really evaluate it and help really give the right diagnosis, provide that diagnosis, even when necessary, provide a prescription for the right kind of treatment. Not only that, but then also deliver the prescription to the individual and then help them adhere to it for the longest term.
Having all of this accessible through one website is an example of the holistic solutions Gutman feels should be at the forefront of health entrepreneurship. And since what works in other industries doesn't always translate to success in healthcare, does the same principle apply to its leaders? Many people used to assume that this industry requires a specific type of person. However, Glover says that research shows there's no one who's born with the innate ability to be successful in healthcare. Instead, prosperous ventures come from specific skills that anyone can develop over time.
We think about how can an individual become more adept at adjusting and adapting to change, adapting to the volatility of a market, adapting to complexity. And so I think has been true in the general entrepreneurship literature and becomes even more so important, I think, in healthcare. It is by definition, as one of my colleagues, Jay Rao, often says, it is a volatile, uncertain, complex, and adaptive system. And so because of those challenges, we know that those are skills that individuals can develop. We aren't necessarily born with those capabilities innately. Some may have some strengths, but there are things that we need to actively develop over time.
Building entrepreneurial skills is one thing, but as someone who's successfully been in the industry for years, Gutman believes that there is a foundational trait all people in the healthcare industry should possess: empathy. He believes that deeply caring is what sets healthcare apart from other areas of business.
In other businesses, you may be able to just create solutions. But if you don't deeply care about the individuals, healthcare has two words in it, health and care. A lot of people think that just the health solution will suffice. Caring, deeply caring about the individual, what they need, what they want, how they feel. It's an integral part of care.
Gutman infuses every project, company, and invention of his with this philosophy, then builds a team with people who share the same value. Since healthcare deals with the most vulnerable populations, Gutman says being attentive to detail is not just preferred, it's a core responsibility.
It's more than just creating a solution that is a utility or something that is fun or something that is, providing you some sort of, something that goes faster, easier, cheaper. Healthcare is related to our life, which is our most important asset. So there's a lot of responsibility to take when you build healthcare companies. So you need to think about regulatory, you need to think about privacy, you need to think about people and how they feel, right? So there's a whole slew of things that are above and beyond what you do with regular products and services that you need to be very, very diligent about.
Despite this extra responsibility, Gutman says that too many people with good ideas don't get involved in the industry because they think it's too complex. And while there are challenges in this field that don't have to be dealt with in other businesses, Gutman doesn't believe that these obstacles should discourage talented people from getting into healthcare.
There are some intricacies to take into account, but I think they're all manageable. With the right kind of talent, with the right kind of people, with the right kind of mindset, which I think is super important, it's possible to overcome. And then the opportunity is immense, both from a human perspective and from a mission and fulfillment perspective, but also from a business and financial perspective. The opportunities are humongous, right? So I think that thinking that it's impossible because it's healthcare, it's not the right kind of thinking. The right kind of thinking, maybe it's more intricate, but it's worth solving.
Especially in today's landscape, where AI is presenting unprecedented opportunities to push the field past its limits. Glover says she and other researchers have been waiting for this moment for years, when an idea comes along that completely rethinks the healthcare industry.
I recall my work 15, 20 years ago when we were asking ourselves, what's going to be the Spotify of healthcare? What will fundamentally change the landscape? And it's been 20 years. And while there have been some significant advancements, particularly in specific disease states, we have seen some significant changes. I think in terms of the payment structures, There has also been innovation, but I don't know if it has resulted in the utopian change that we all expected to see. And so I think with that being said, there are many, many scholars that are continuing to do this work. And to say, with all of the fantastic work healthcare entrepreneurs are doing, how do we get that innovation to the market sooner and faster? And so I am very hopeful for all of the healthcare economists and individuals that really focus on that space to continue to bring innovations to bear so that the clinical and technological side can actually reach the people.
You can find more information about Will Gina Glover, Ron Gutman, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, a more comfortable and accurate way to catch cervical cancer. When Radio Health Journal returns.
It's the spring favorite sale at Macy's, which means it's the best time to shop for all the new looks you love, like bold floral dresses for $150 and under, and 50 to 75% off lightweight suits for any occasion, plus 30% off denim handbags that bring the whole look together. So come into Macy's and find a few of your favorites for spring, or maybe even more than a few, only through Sunday. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Gain Super Flings are here to take your laundry to the next level.
Talking about Gain Super Flings. Super size laundry packs. These things are huge. Super fresh, super clean. Gain Super Flings.
Gain Super Flings laundry packs have 4 times the Oxi cleaning power and 3 times the Febreze freshness versus Gain Original Liquid.
Super fresh, super clean. Gain Super Flings.
Gain Super Flings for next level laundry.
The American Cancer Society estimates that more than 4,000 women will die from cervical cancer this year, despite it being highly preventable. A main prevention strategy is making sure women get screened every 3 years. However, the guidelines have changed as we continue to learn more about which tests are effective and which are completely unnecessary. These changes can make a huge difference for how comfortable women are during the appointment. For example, bimanual pelvic exams used to be a normal part of the annual screening procedure, where the doctor would insert their fingers inside the vagina to feel for any abnormalities.
You would lay down, you take off your underwear, you'd be on the table, the doctor would put their fingers inside of you and feel around to see that things were, quote, normal. And well, we've proven that people can't tell where the ovaries are when you actually look at it with ultrasound, that people's feelings inside the vagina don't lead to diagnoses unless the woman already has an issue that she wants to talk to you about first before you put your fingers inside.
That's Dr. Diane Harper, a professor in the Departments of Family Medicine and Obstetrics and Gynecology. She's an internationally recognized research expert in HPV-associated diseases and their prevention. The bimanual exam was discontinued as a routine procedure because research shows it's not effective on its own. But while many patients can avoid the hand examination, most will still have to have a speculum exam during their annual visit.
Speculums have been around for over 3,000 years. They initially were made as wooden instruments. They then became metal instruments. They are 2 plates that are put inside the vagina and used to pry the vagina open. They're now plastic in most cases, and oftentimes they'll have a lighted plastic with it that allows the physician to be able to actually see the cervix to address any particular issues that are happening at the cervix.
In addition to a visual examination, the physician will keep the speculum inserted and use a long brush or spatula-like instrument to scrape cells off of the cervix. The standard screening procedure used at the moment is called co-testing. This is when the collected cells are used for both a pap smear and HPV test. The HPV test looks for high-risk types of the virus, while the pap test checks for cervical cancer cells or abnormal ones that could turn cancerous in the future. However, since cervical cancer is almost always caused by an HPV infection, Harper says that there's no reason to get both tests.
We now know that cervical cancer, 99.9% of the time, is caused by human papillomavirus. It's caused by HPV. So the most accurate test is going to be, do you have HPV or not? If you don't have HPV, it doesn't matter what all those little cells mean, because those cells are not accurate in a way we'd like to think of them as being accurate. They were accurate when they were the only thing we had, because that's all we had. And we used that from 1929, when Dr. Papanicolaou first came out with the pap smear. And now it's outdated. Now it's your grandma's test.
Instead of co-testing, primary HPV screening is starting to be the top recommendation. The pap smear involves visually inspecting the collected cells under a microscope for any signs of cancer. The primary HPV tests, on the other hand, are objective diagnostics that have been shown to prevent more pre-cancer and cancer. The World Health Organization, American Cancer Society, and American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have all adopted this recommendation. And though both tests use the same speculum examination, Harper says that's probably going to change soon, too. In 2024, the FDA approved self-collection methods of HPV testing that women can use themselves in a healthcare setting.
You can use the Evelyn brush, which is like a soft plastic longer tampon that the woman can put into her vagina. She turns it around. It's got a little handle on it. You turn it around 5 times. You pull it back out. And then you either give it to the lab person or to the clinician, and they put it in the little vial of liquid that the doctor who's doing the speculum exam would normally put their stuff in. And then it gets sent off. So literally, it's like using a tampon.
Another option is a swab that's very similar to what many of us use to test for COVID. It's inserted into the vagina and rotated to swab gently along the vaginal walls, then pulled back out and sent to the lab. Self-sampling would be a huge shift in the status quo. All of a sudden, the speculum, a design that's remained largely unchanged, would be rendered obsolete for many patients. It's a big adjustment that may sound scary, but thankfully, we have other countries that have already successfully adopted this method. Sweden, for example, announced in 2022 that HPV self-sampling is leading to faster elimination of cervical cancer. Harper is part of a research team trying to create the same progress in the U.S.
We just published that. We are the first U.S.-based population that shows that we have nearly 100% accuracy between self-collection and speculum collection. This is the first paper in the United States that is doing that. We currently have an NCI study that is also looking at 26 different sites in the United States, and we are in the first year of that trial. We hope that trial will continue, that we'll be able to provide a multi-site confirmation of the results that we already have.
While the research is specific to America, there's a global pool of positive results that have been shown over decades to back up the success of self-administered HPV tests.
Our European colleagues are 20 years ahead of us. The Netherlands already has self-sampling with primary HPV testing as their national test. And they've been doing this for a long enough time to show that it more accurately detects women with cervical cancer precursors, and it allows the need for going to colposcopy to decrease much quicker. And so it's incredibly successful. You partner HPV vaccination with primary HPV screening and self-sampling, and we really can get a control over cervical cancer that we haven't had for 20 years. The cervical cancer has just continued to bob around with nobody making any dents in it to any significant amount. We can now do that, and it's very exciting.
The initial pushback people may have to self-sampling is the user error that comes with it. Many of us aren't doctors and have no formal training for using medical devices. Thankfully, Harper says it's almost impossible to swab incorrectly because of how an HPV infection spreads to the cervix.
It has to start on the vulva. That's where she's first exposed. HPV is first there. HPV then is like the entire vagina has exposed to HPV before the cervix is ever exposed to HPV. So you know that that vaginal canal, if her cervix is going to have HPV, her vaginal canal has to have HPV. It just cannot exist. It's not biologically plausible in any other way. So it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you put the swab in at least 3 to 4 inches and that you kind of just turn it around the best you can. You don't need to like make bread, right? You just need to gently just turn it around between your finger and your thumb and pull it back out, because the vagina is more than happy to give you a sample without pain that is equally accurate as a speculum that goes straight to the cervix to check. In fact, do we find more HPV because it's in the vagina than some doctors find when they're getting it on the cervix? So the specimen collection is actually better with the self-collection.
So if self-sampling is just as, if not more, accurate than the normal procedure, why do we continue to use a speculum? Join us next week as we discuss the medical field's resistance, as well as how self-sampling increases health access for women with physical disabilities. You can find more information about Dr. Diane Harper and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Jackson Hewitt wants you to save money on tax prep. We're saving money by having our intern rap in this commercial.
Don't stress. Jackson Hewitt's got expert tax prep, $149 or less. Yo, some tax guys lie about price. What? They got hidden fees. That ain't nice.
Ain't nice.
Don't ignore MC Kevin's rhyme, because this deal's for a limited time. $149.
For tax prep that's $149 or less, hurry into Jackson Hewitt today.
No cap.
Limited time offer for new clients on federal returns. Participating locations only. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com/149.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
Sherry Shepherd here to talk about Black health. You know what I love about us? Everything. From science to the arts, we are leading the way. But we are falling behind in getting vaccinated. Pneumococcal vaccination rates are lower among Black adults than white adults. If you're 50 or older, you're at a greater risk of getting pneumococcal pneumonia. And the CDC recommends vaccination. If you're 19 or older with diabetes like me, you're also at increased risk. Let's continue owning our own healthcare and leading the way in vaccination rates too. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins.
Join the millions of people who are celebrating going hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. Footwear you just step into and they're on.
It's crazy how something as simple as a pair of shoes have made my life better.
After trying Skechers Slip-ins, I want all my shoes to have this technology. See what everybody can't stop talking about. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Medical notes this week. Artificial intelligence can predict fatal heart attacks. The new technology uses raw images of diseased hearts and patients' medical backgrounds to determine if and when a heart attack will occur. The findings, published in Nature Cardiovascular Research, show that this algorithm is significantly more accurate in its predictions than medical doctors. A lack of patient diversity in Alzheimer's research threatens accurate diagnosing in people of color. A study published in Neurology shows how three experimental blood tests put Black patients at a higher risk of misdiagnosis. Since most of the test data comes from white participants, the results are skewed to only notice biomarkers that appear in that population. The paper's lead author says it reveals the need for more patient diversity in Alzheimer's research. And finally, as the temperature rises, so do emergency room visits. A paper published in JAMA Psychiatry shows a correlation between extremely hot days and mental health crises. Many of the ER visits are related to childhood onset behavioral and substance use disorders, as well as anxiety and stress. Future research aims to find strategies that help this population cope during days of extreme heat. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Protect your home and auto with a bundle from Progressive so you can stop worrying about them and invent new things to worry about, like snakes in your bedroom. Sure, that sounds incredibly irrational, but now that we've mentioned it, you are a little worried. The odds of one snake, let alone snakes plural, are so slim. But you might want to check. Oh, you're not near your bedroom. Guess you'll just have to sit there and worry about it. So let Progressive protect your home and auto, because you've got enough to worry about. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Winter is out and winning is in. It's our break into spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station, then get set to win starting Monday, March 24th.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory in effect for your Sunday, as we'll see around 2 to 4 inches of snow accumulation between now and Sunday night. Could have a little bit of a wintry mix in there as well. Highs of the upper 30s and lower 40s and gusty winds. Currently 29 degrees.
This week on Viewpoints.
America's first subway was really built to get streetcars off the streets of downtown Boston.
We look at Boston, the birthplace of mass transit in America. Then,
the hippie trail, which was the epic road trip back in the 60s and 70s that all the young backpackers were taking from Istanbul to Kathmandu.
Acclaimed travel writer Rick Steves joins us to share an adventure close to his heart. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
It's the spring favorite sale at Macy's, which means it's the best time to shop for all the new looks you love, like bold floral dresses for $150 and under, and 50 to 75% off lightweight suits for any occasion, plus 30% off denim handbags that bring the whole look together. So come into Macy's and find a few of your favorites for spring, or maybe even more than a few, only through Sunday. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
From buses to trains to underground subways, tens of millions of Americans rely on mass transit to get around. These public systems are not only convenient and affordable, but drastically reduce traffic congestion in cities. This, in turn, cuts carbon emissions that lead to global warming. In 2022, more than 2 million New Yorkers relied on public transit as part of their daily routine, according to data published by the U.S. Census Bureau. More than 70% of public transit commuters live in one of these seven cities: New York, L.A., Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. Each of these mass transit hubs looks a little different. A classic Chicago landscape often includes a CTA train running above ground over the city's roads and bridges. Travel further east, and New York is famous for its expansive and historic subway system that opened in 1904. It has the most stops of any subway, with close to 500 stations in operation. While New York subway is more than 120 years old, it actually doesn't hold the title as America's oldest. This award goes to Boston, where the Tremont Street Subway has been running since 1897. This subway is part of the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, known as the MBTA. The agency manages the nation's oldest subway system, commuter rail, as well as bus and ferry routes. It's the fourth busiest public transit system in the country and has overcome its own challenges over the years.
New equipment, old equipment, fails in terms of equipment and political will and funding, but also some successes in those same areas. Like many pieces of infrastructure across our country, public transit in Boston is something that isn't consistently funded or politically supported or consistently maintained to the level that we'd all would like it to be.
That's Stephen Beauchet, an expert on mass transit and the author of Boston in Transit, Mapping the History of Public Transportation in the Hub. Beauchet says that, similar to many mass transit agencies across the U.S., Boston has long been struggling with how to deal with aging infrastructure, shortages in staffing, and a lack of funding. Add on top of this the COVID-19 pandemic.
I would say one of the luckier cities where we had a robust transit system to begin with, and I believe that allowed us to endure the COVID effects on public transit. Some places lost routes that never came back. We, using subsidized dollars, federal, state money, were able to keep most of our system running if frequencies were severely reduced, but we never really, you know, did any long-term shutdown because of COVID. We just reduced things. That allowed us to come back a lot faster after the pandemic, but we still continue to face things that the pandemic left us, which is hiring troubles. It's very hard to find qualified drivers and to get people into public transportation as a career.
But Boston officials are committed to maintaining this historic line. After all, this framework paved the way for many mass transit systems across the U.S. Rewind back to the 17th and 18th centuries, and Boston was a bustling city filled with dusty, clogged streets. Most residents either walked or hopped on a small ferry to traverse the different boroughs separated by water. It wasn't until the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century that private companies began pushing bigger build-outs.
I'm talking about steam trains developed in Europe in the 1820s. By the 1830s, Boston is now reaching out to the suburbs with steam train routes, all operated by independent companies. And then by the 1850s, that's the middle of the 19th century, we start to see the arrival of rail to street transit. So they take what the private companies that were operating coaches throughout the city of Boston for the 18th into the 19th century, they took those coaches, put them on wheels, and they used those for steam railroads. And then eventually that led to horse cars in the streets, pulling coaches, early horse cars, along rails in the street.
By the late 1800s, the streets of downtown Boston were teeming with streetcars and carriages. Pedestrians couldn't walk or safely cross, and the city had become a congested maze.
And all built and operated by private companies. This is pre-public funding of public transportation. It was all sanctioned and overseen by public entities, but it was all privately operated. By the end of the 19th century, we have so many streetcars in the streets that you can't cross them. And that led us to constructing America's first subway, the Tremont Street Subway, which is 1897. So the America's first subway was really built to get streetcars off the streets of downtown Boston. Imagine all of Greater Boston, all the streetcar traffic was focused in a small area near Scully Square and Boston Common. And you had to take your streetcar in and then come back out if you were going through the city. There was no rapid transit system yet, no elevated rails, no subway. So the subway was a thing of necessity, and it is the first public transit subway in the Western Hemisphere. It's one of the first handful that were constructed in the world.
And there were many challenges in building this first underground subway system. Boston had already existed for more than 200 years, and architects and engineers had to place the subway in a suitable area.
So essentially, the subway was built under public streets and under Boston Common, the two places that were least likely to disturb existing private property and buildings. The technologies we used were, I'll call them cutting edge for the time. They're old school now, but they basically, most of the places was called cut and cover. They would dig a hole, put the subway down, and then put a roof on it and put the street back. But granted, this subway was, when it's completed all of its pieces, it's a mile or so, a mile and a half long. It's not an entire network of subways that we would envision today, but it was essentially dug by hand and using horses. There were some steam shovels, but it was basically a lot of backbreaking work in the center of the city. A lot of people were upset about the subway as it's getting built. They didn't want all the disruption.
But by the project's end, the new subway was seen as an engineering marvel. It reduced street traffic and allowed travelers to get across the main commons. The technology was a success, and the construction of more lines, both underground and above ground, quickly took shape.
It's interesting to look back on the actual virile excitement that people had when a new line opened. For example, when the Cambridge-Dorchester line opened here in Boston, that's our red line now today, the first train left Harvard, people were screaming and yelling and having a great time when the first streetcar descended into the subway. It was three times over capacity and people were hanging off the sides of it. This is a time when you could ride an open streetcar into a tunnel and just hang off the side.
As much of the larger U.S. dove into a building boom in the 20th century, Boucher says that Boston acted as a blueprint for many other mass transit systems.
The Boston Elevated Railway Company that I mentioned before was internationally recognized as a leader in new technologies. They brought our first buses to Boston in the 20s. Other cities came here to look at it and learn from us. The Boston Elevated Railway Company was really a progressive force, and it's something that I really wish existed in Boston today, where we are applying the latest technologies and applying the newest modes and methods for transit. But yeah, that's another time.
Today, each transportation hub is unique in its own rights, but the end goal is the same: to provide safe, affordable, and reliable travel to all citizens. While ridership may wane and grow, there will always be a need for public buses, trains, trams, and ferries. To find out more about this topic, head to viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This story was written and produced by Amira Zuveri and originally aired in 2023. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, forget a summer trip to Europe or Mexico. Why traveling to less popular cities should be on your bucket list when Viewpoints returns.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort. Now, I know you're probably spelling comfort in your head and asking yourself, is that possible? Am I just a really bad speller? Look, I don't know your spelling aptitude, but Skechers most definitely put the S in comfort, because Skechers is the comfort technology company and has developed fits and features that change everything you know about comfort, like hands-free Skechers slip-ins, the ultimate in comfort and convenience. It's footwear you just step into and they're on, with no bending down. Find Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
You can do it all by yourself, baby girl. What's your name? Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night.
Come buy you a drink.
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
It's the spring favorite sale at Macy's, which means it's the best time to shop for all the new looks you love, like bold floral dresses for $150 and under, and 50 to 75% off lightweight suits for any occasion, plus 30% off denim handbags that bring the whole look together. So come into Macy's and find a few of your favorites for spring, or maybe even more than a few, only through Sunday. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Rick Steves is a popular American travel writer with 60 books to his name. People who are familiar with his travel guides may not realize that, as a young man, Steves was a piano teacher with no intention of ever becoming a travel expert. But in 1978, a trip of a lifetime changed his path.
The Hippie Trail, which was the epic road trip back in the 60s and 70s that all the young backpackers were taking from Istanbul to Kathmandu. That was back when the Beatles were going to India to hang out with the Maharishi Yogi and so on. And it was a perfect time for me. I was 23 years old. I'm three times as old as that now. And this 60,000 word journal was just hanging out in a box in a closet for decades. I think I read 4 or 5 pages of it and that was it. And then I finally rediscovered it during COVID and it was amazingly vivid and unguarded, candid, politically incorrect, raw, introspective.
As it turned out, 1978 was the last year the Hippie Trail could be traversed. The following year, the Shah of Iran had fallen, and the Islamist revolutionary Ayatollah Khomeini took over. Then, the year after that, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan.
I had done it. I had documented it intimately. I mean, there's bugs squished onto the pages of this 200-page hardbound empty book that I filled. I documented it with photographs, which I'm not some fancy photographer, but I did a great job of filming that thing as a kid, and it all survived. So I ran it by my publisher, and they said, this is really vivid and fun and unique. We published it. It made, number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list, which I've never been on before. So it's resonated with people, and I'm so thankful that I wrote this journal. I just love the idea of writing a journal to vividly capture all the little butterflies of travel fun that flutter by.
Steves and his travel buddy, Gene Openshaw, were full of youthful energy back then and took many risks on the Hippie Trail, like sleeping in an empty train car parked in the station to save money on a hotel, only to wake up on a moving train going the wrong way. Steve says that while unexpected adventure is still his travel style, it's now tempered by maturity.
Bravado does not mean taking risks. Bravado for me means jumping on serendipity as it presents itself. It means not avoiding culture shock, but seeing culture shock as a constructive thing. Culture shock is the growing pains of a broadening perspective. It just needs to be curated. And as a kid, you take more risks and you jump out of moving trains and you do all sorts of little fun adventures. And it does, if you survive it, amount to some good travel stories. And that's this book. But now what I do is I have a more mature approach to that. I don't take as many risks. I've got enough money to have a good hotel and so on.
Even though you can't travel the Hippie Trail anymore, Steves hopes that young people will still seek out their own coming-of-age journey abroad. In the age of social media, it can be all too easy to follow the crowds to the same trendy, picturesque destinations seen on Instagram or TikTok. Instead, get outside of your comfort zone and take a risk.
I'm inspired by young people that I meet right now that just got back from a Hippie Trail. And that's the beautiful thing, to get out there and become friends with the world. Stop saying have a safe trip. Start saying bon voyage, because it's a beautiful world. And if you don't know that, maybe you don't have a passport.
But is this kind of travel still safe with all of the political unrest happening around the world? While it's always important to travel smart and do your research, Steve says don't let fear hinder you from experiencing a new culture filled with new customs, traditions, languages, and people.
Every year, except COVID, I've spent 100 days overseas since I was a teenager. I know it is safer now to travel than it was back when people said bon voyage. There's no question about it. It's safer now. Statistically, I know statistics are optional for a lot of Americans these days, but statistically, it is safer to travel now. When somebody tells me, have a safe trip, I'm inclined to say, well, you have a safe stay at home, because where I'm going is safer than where you're staying. And if you're so concerned about safety, can't you just understand that the world would be a safer place if we all traveled a little bit and came home with a passion not for building walls, but for building bridges? We need bridges. We don't need walls. America has to be at the table with the family of nations so we can provide the leadership and the inspiration that the ideals of America are all about. And that's an exciting opportunity. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping and inspiring Americans to get out of their comfort zone and travel. Try Portugal after 6 trips to Orlando.
No matter your age, it's important to always have an open mind when you travel to a foreign country. This is what leads to an eye-opening and fulfilling experience.
I think a lot of Americans are more demanding now. We're more fast. We know what's right. I humble myself when I'm on the road. I like to be thoughtful and I have a feeling of what's right to me. But I know that the world is not a pyramid with America on top and everybody else trying to figure it out. We're 4% of this planet and there's 96% out there. And everybody's got their own self-evident and God-given truths. And who am I to say that 800 million Hindus are wrong for taking care of their cows and feeding them better than they take care of their children? I don't understand that, but there's got to be a reason. And I just want to learn about it. I want to go there with an open mind.
As a spiritual person from a Protestant background, he parks his beliefs at the door and becomes, say, a temporary Roman Catholic when he enters St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. This ability to be open to new perspectives is what leads to personal growth.
My travels go much better when I do that. So I've been in a lot of holy places and I've been in a lot of holy temples. And when I go in there, I'm surrounded with people who I want to respect and learn from and take a quiet moment. And if we had a little bit of more of that in this planet, I think we'd be all safer and better off.
Interestingly, in the world of travel books, there's one guidebook that always outsells Steve's most popular guide to Italy. And that's the guidebook to Disney World.
Well, that's a different market. That's La La Land. And that's not my market. I cannot compete with Disneyland. This is reality travel. This is an attempt to broaden your perspective through travel. This is experiential. This is transformational. There's nothing transformational about going to Cancun or going to Vegas or going to Disneyland. That's fun, but for me, I've got some important work to do when I'm on the road, and that's become a citizen of this planet, as well as a more keenly appreciative of my American citizenship. If everybody traveled a little bit, we'd be less fearful, less able to be manipulated by people who want to capitalize on our fear. And I think this world would be a safer and a better place. So let's say bon voyage to that.
Rick Steves' newest book, Rick Steves on the Hippie Trail, Istanbul to Kathmandu and the Making of a Travel Writer, is available now wherever books are sold. You can learn more about his work by visiting our website at viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This story was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is sponsored by Capital One. Banking with Capital One helps you keep more money in your wallet with no fees or minimums on checking accounts and no overdraft fees. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Shopping with your parents can be embarrassing.
Why would they sell jeans with holes in them? I'm going to speak to the manager.
Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies!
...to...
How was shopping? Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids. Control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
Sherry Shepherd here to talk about Black health. You know what I love about us? Everything. From science to the arts, we are leading the way. But we are falling behind in getting vaccinated. Pneumococcal vaccination rates are lower among Black adults than white adults. If you're 50 or older, you're at a greater risk of getting pneumococcal pneumonia. And the CDC recommends vaccination. If you're 19 or older with diabetes like me, you're also at increased risk. Let's continue owning our own healthcare and leading the way in vaccination rates too. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Canada is welcoming a new prime minister,
Mark Carney has been elected leader of the ruling Liberal Party. He follows Justin Trudeau, who was prime minister for 9 years and recently stepped down amid declining popularity. Carney is the fill-in for Trudeau until a formal federal election happens later this year. At the polls, he'll face off against the Conservative Party leader, but is expected to come out on top. One aspect that sets Carney apart is that he comes from a long and prominent career in finance and is relatively new to the world of politics. He's no stranger to dealing with economic turbulence and has led both the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England through financial crisis, earning a reputation as a smart economist and strong leader. For more Canadians, he's exactly what the country needs right now. Over the last few years, Canadians have been feeling the pinch of inflation. Everything from food to energy to housing have all become significantly more expensive. On top of this, the current trade war between the U.S. and Canada and the tariffs imposed on both ends will only add fuel to the fire. Canadians, just like many Americans, are worried about job security, affordability, and the state of the economy. In response, Carney has vowed to strengthen Canada's economy and not back down at the negotiation table with President Donald Trump. While Carney has an uphill battle to climb, his first test will be to permanently secure the prime minister seat by popular vote in the federal election. This vote must happen by October 20th, but will likely take place sooner. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Lady Gaga burst onto the pop scene in 2008 with her song Just Dance and her album The Fame, which also included Love Game, Paparazzi, and Poker Face. From there, she was off to the races as one of the most enigmatic and popular singers of her generation. After continuing to play in the pop sandbox with Born This Way and Art Pop, Gaga ventured on to other genres and even other media entirely. She released an Americana rock album in Joanne, a house album in Chromatica. She starred in films like A Star Is Born and Joker Folie à Deux, and she collaborated extensively with the late Tony Bennett on two albums and a tour. Now, though, Gaga is firmly back in the mainstream pop world with her latest album, Mayhem. The synth-heavy offering comes from a more mature and experienced version of Gaga than The Fame, and the pop superstar isn't afraid to wear her inspirations on her sleeve. The song Shadow of a Man features a bassline that would feel right at home on an 80s Michael Jackson album. Killa features vocals reminiscent of a David Bowie song, and the internet immediately identified How Bad Do You Want Me as a song that recalls Taylor Swift, both in lyrics and production. Then, of course, there are songs like Abracadabra and Perfect Celebrity, which feel like Gaga putting fresh touches on sounds that she's experimented with before in her own career. Instead of feeling scattered, though, all of these influences and pop variations feel of a piece on Mayhem. Gaga has been all around the music world and returned to the genre that launched her with a more playful approach than ever before. It gives Mayhem plenty of layers to appreciate over the course of multiple listens, and of course, it'll serve you very well on a long car ride or at a pregame before a night out. I'm Evan Rook.
It's the spring favorite sale at Macy's, which means it's the best time to shop for all the new looks you love, like bold floral dresses for $150 and under, and 50 to 75% off lightweight suits for any occasion, plus 30% off denim handbags that bring the whole look together. So come into Macy's and find a few of your favorites for spring, or maybe even more than a few, only through Sunday. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Can your pad absorb everything and stay fresh? Always Radiant with FlexFoam can. Get up to zero leaks, zero odor, and zero feel. Because FlexFoam is the only pad with a flexible foam core. You heard me, foam. Always Radiant is so thin, it feels like nothing, yet protects like nothing else. Can your pad do that? For up to 100% leak-free protection, try Always Radiant to see what FlexFoam can do for you.
That's Viewpoints for this week.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
You're listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
And the days go by like a strand in the wind, in the wind.